Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm so used to having the music at the beginning of this, and you're listening to Global Wicca with its very first premiere episode, part of the Global Wicca Summit, a companion to the Pagans Tonight Radio Network ran by the Karelian Education Ministries. Tonight's Global Wicca Summit is being brought to you by the Daily Spell Network, Witch School, and is also sponsored by the ATC, Circle Sanctuary, and so many more who are going to be helping us all week long celebrate his global Wicca religion and do a deep dive and dig into the idea and the facts about our global religion. And as you know, we have so many people involved. So stay tuned, stay attention. And tonight, we have the Right Reverend Lori Denham of the Karelian tradition and of Chosen Path Temple. Did I get that right?
Chosen Path Church, yep.
Church, okay. It's very interesting. And she is a Wiccan, and she is a member of the Karelian tradition. And, well, really quick before we get into it, she's very big into diversity. She's done a number of great speeches, and she's going to share with us her ideas of diversity. But here in a minute. But first, Lori, I'm so glad that you've joined me today.
I'm very
excited. You've been
working
so hard.
And I know this is like wit. And I thank you for saying I'm past your bedtime. Mine too. Very excited for it. So you work in the. So you are a computer person, right? You can describe yourself as a computer person.
I am. I'm not a tech person, but in my working years, I was on the computer all day long. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time on the computer.
Okay. So we're going to have you share. Basically, you've done a lot of work on diversity. And I want you to share because you've given a bit of this talk. So I'm going to give way, Reverend Lori, as we call it. We tend to be less formal, but, you know, so we do have all our titles, so we represent that. But I'm going to why don't you tell us a little bit about – let me do this first. When we talk about diversity, what do you mean by diversity? And I know you've got this in your talk, so I'm going to let you go ahead and do this.
Well, everybody has their own concept of diversity. I was very fortunate for my 40 years working for a company that believes very strongly in diversity and inclusion. So it's kind of part of my DNA at this point. When we talk about it, the first thing we've got to realize is we look at diversity and inclusion through a filter. Like I said, everybody's got their own definition of it. And that filter is our conscious and our unconscious biases. Everybody has them. It's perfectly natural to have conscious and unconscious biases. However, they form how we interact with not only each other, but also with the divine. I was fortunate enough last year, I think it was, or maybe it was the year before, to be invited to the Buckman Bridge Unitarian Universalist Church to do a sermon at their Sunday service on diversity and inclusion and conscious and unconscious bias. And I started out by reading the Karelian Creed and explaining how that ties into thinking about deity as a diamond. We all looked at the diamond I was holding in my hand, and each one of us saw the same diamond, but because of where we were in relationship to it in the room, we had a slightly different view or concept of that diamond because of how the light reflected. And that's the way the Carillions kind of define how diversity can be approached by looking at the same thing. We're all looking at the same thing, but we're interpreting it through our own filters. And if we're all looking at the same deity and just wrapping our head around that deity in a way that makes sense to us, then each one of those senses is equally valid, because it only has to be valid for the one person looking at deity through that filter. So what causes those filters? Well, unconscious bias refers to biases that we're unaware of. They're programmed into us as a species. We look at things and our fight and flight reactions take place, or our ooh and ah, warm, cuddly reactions take place, maybe when we look at a baby's face. They're kind of programmed into us. And when we have them, normally we use them for making quick judgments or assessing people in situations. They're influenced by our background, our cultural environment, and our own personal experiences. And they can be both positive and negative. If you have a bias against things that are dangerous, that's a positive thing. If you have a bias against someone else's religion, even though it has absolutely no impact on you, that's a negative thing. And the way I presented this sermon to the congregation to kind of get them thinking about their conscious and unconscious bias is I had the sermon leader read my bio. And my bio went into the various aspects of my life. I'm a clergy, I'm a mom, I was a banker for 40 years, I'm a pet rescuer, I'm a gamer. All those things were in my bio. And I arrived at the podium in my Carillion dress robes. I asked them as I went through my sermon to kind of keep in mind that first thing that came to their mind when I showed them something, and that was their unconscious bias. And then that second thing that came to mind was their unconscious bias. It was their conscious bias. So, you know, the first one is me up there in my robes, and, you know, somebody might perceive that as just another crazy pagan dressing up in costumes. But then I went on to explain that all the layers of that sacred robe had taken me years to earn through education and service to my community. And each one of those vestment pieces had a spiritual meaning. After I went through that, then I had two assistants that helped me peel off those robes. And believe me, that's a major production. So then under that, I revealed my business clothes I would typically wear as a bank vice president. And that view, some people may look at me as the evil banker. Nobody likes bankers. You know, we're always wanting to maximize the profits, stick it to the poor, and all those concepts. However, banks are required to invest in their community. They're required under the Community Reinvestment Act to do service in their community, to support their communities financially, to look for ways to reinvest in the community. And then I talked about the highlight of my 40-year career, which was when we went from 32 backroom functions to 4 regional centers. I was in a small town, one county bank, and I had 40 people that worked for me. And over several months of networking and advocating and educating, I wound up being able to place 38 of those people in positions after our jobs went away. One lady retired and one lady moved out of state, but everybody else was successfully placed. And that was the highlight of my career. Not a big deal I made or a big audit find I made as an accountant or anything like that. It was helping people keep their jobs. After I explained the banker, then I peeled off another layer and I exposed a WOW t-shirt. And everybody looks at gamers as losers. You know, these are people that are holed up in their parents' basement without a job. Well, I'm a gamer. I have played World of Warcraft for close to 10 years. I've been a guild leader since 2007. I just stepped down the other day. But I also found time as a gamer to volunteer 500 to 800 hours in my community, and that's excluding my religious volunteer hours. Gamers are people that enjoy solving puzzles. They enjoy exploration. They enjoy grouping up with people to accomplish goals in games, and they're not losers. If I had a choice to hire a gamer versus another type of person, I'd probably hire a gamer for the kind of work that I do because it takes that intellectual curiosity to do the kind of work I do. After that layer, we went through the dog rescue layer. I had my proof t-shirt, which is Pug Rescue of Florida, and I explained that even compared to my spiritual work, I find being a foster parent through Pug Rescue of Florida as the most rewarding experience of my life, other than being mother to my 2 children. It is, you're giving yourself to someone that does not have a voice. You're advocating for them. You're finding them a good home. If they're a hospice patient, you're giving them love that they have never had in their life so that they can end their days in peace. And it brings me the most joy that I have ever had from volunteering for anything. So, you know, rescuers are not the crazy cat lady that's got 500 cats that they're trying to rescue. Rescuers work one-on-one with animals and give them the voice and the chance at a happy life that no one else is willing to give them. And then I peeled off the final layer, and that layer was not in my bio. And that was my inner Molly Weasley layer. And in that layer, I had my crazy LuLaRoe leggings on. I had my drapey chemise top on. I was very colorful, very all out. But that's the way I actually dress when I'm not representing myself as a banker or as clergy. You're either going to find me in a graphic t-shirt and a pair of baggy pants, or you're going to find me in some really wild leggings and very flowy tops. My daughter years ago said, "Mom, you're starting to dress like Molly Weasley," and somehow I'm strangely okay with that. And I asked them to think about Molly Weasley. You know, we went through 8 books with Molly sending screaming telegrams to her son and always kind of being dazed and confused and not really sure what was going on. She just knew it was bad. a true helicopter mom. But then at the end, she is the one that took down the craziest witch there ever was in Bellatrix Lestrange. You know, Molly Weasley was a fierce warrior in the fight at Hogwarts. And that's the Molly Weasley I identify with. I identify with her because I'm willing to fight and sacrifice to right wrongs that I see in the world. I am going to be the change I want to see. And I'm not going to sit down and shut up when things need to be corrected in the world. So at the end of the sermon, I kind of went through how that all ties into our relationship with the divine, those conscious and unconscious biases. When we look at that diamond, we are looking at the divine, and everyone else is also looking at the divine through their own paradigm. And if we discount someone else's view, then we're discounting the possible truths that are in those other religions. They may not be our truth, but they may be truths to millions of people. There is something there that has drawn the seeker, the higher self, to that religion. I talked about how sometimes we treat people differently because of their religion. And being a member of a minority religion, I'm sometimes on the brunt end of that. I have a contact form on my temple's website, and every couple of months I'll get somebody that tells me I'm an agent of Satan or I'm going to hell or whatever they feel like they need to share with me because I'm a random stranger that does not participate in their religion. It also forces us into a rigid practice that is routine rather than personal. If we do the same thing every time we talk to the divine, it becomes mindless. It becomes without emotion, without attachment. And that can happen through unconscious biases, when you think you have to approach the divine in a certain rigid way. So what do you do if you find you've got these unconscious biases? Well, the first thing you have to be aware of is, okay, now I've discovered this unconscious bias. And is it a positive or a negative one? I'm personally biased against lima beans. I don't like lima beans. But every farmer that grows lima beans is not going to go out of business because I personally don't like lima beans. However, if I have an unconscious bias towards another person or the religion that they practice, people can get hurt, and in some cases even killed. We have had a Carillion member that was dragged out of his house and stabbed to death because he was Wiccan in a country that minority religions were not allowed in. When you have these unconscious biases, you start out making small changes. You see that bias pop up and you say, there it is again. I'm not going to let myself react to it this time. And you're pragmatically going through that each time that bias comes up, and you're kind of challenging yourself not to allow yourself to manifest that bias. In the end, you will change your unconscious bias into a conscious bias, and you will eradicate it by paying attention to it and not allowing it to manifest itself. So that was the sermon that I did on conscious and unconscious bias and how that impacts our ability to appreciate diversity, not only in ourselves, in the people around us, but also in our relationship with the divine. Now, in the Corellian religion, which is Wiccan, the thing that attracted me to it is that it teaches that all religions are equally valid, that no one is more right or more wrong than another. I left the Catholic Church when I was 23, when they told my mother on her last rites that she was going to purgatory for having used a diaphragm for birth control. She never even chemically altered her body. This was a little bit too much for my 23-year-old revolutionary brain to take. So I left the Catholic Church. Her funeral was the last time I went in the Catholic Church until my father's funeral. But I looked. I needed organized religion. I felt I had grown up with the practice of ritual, with the practice of prayer, and that was missing from my life. So I explored many, many religions. And usually, instead of finding out about the religion I was exploring, they would politely inform me what was wrong with all the other religions out there instead of teaching me about theirs. So when I found a religion that treated all religions equally, I found my home. Through finding the home with the tradition, I found Wicca. During all those years that I did not have an organized religion, I had a code of ethics that I ran my life by. And that included three things. The first thing was I could do anything I want, but I couldn't harm myself or others. Now, those of you that are Wiccan, you'll immediately recognize that as the Wiccan read. Do what you will, but harm none. I had no clue there was anything such thing as a Wiccan read at that point. The second thing that I ran my life by was that all life was sacred. And at that point, when I was very young, I defined life as animal and plant life. Well, through my education within Wicca, my definition has extremely expanded, and I take it now down to the cellular level, because at the cellular level, it's still a living entity. So a rock is equally as important as a tree or as a person when you look at doing it harm, when you look at disturbing its natural path. It needs to be considered and respected. Now, I don't take it to the extreme that some other religions do. If you're going to attack me, I'm going to defend myself. And if you get hurt in the process, I'm terribly sorry, but that's what's going to happen. So I do frame it around I have the right to defend myself and my home. And then the third tenet that I ran my life by for many, many decades was that I couldn't just go along for the ride in the world, that I had to do service, that I had to participate. I had to make the world a better place when I left it than it was when I came in. And that's why I volunteered so much all of my adult life. I found all of those things within Wicca, the Wiccan read, and the threefold law cover all facets of those three things. So to me, it just put a label when I said I was Wiccan on something that I had been practicing for many, many years. Now, I've seen a lot of discussion leading up to the summit, and I think some of it confused the word Wiccan with the word witchcraft. In my mind, and I'm not saying this is the definition for everyone, but in my mind, Wicca is a religion. Witchcraft is not. Witchcraft is a practice. It's the craft. You can be a witch without being Wiccan. And what makes the difference is that the Wiccan has agreed to live by the Wiccan reed. So I think when we discuss Wicca and witchcraft, which witchcraft in my definition is the use of energy, whether it's through divination or herbs or stones or tarot, it's all a manipulation of energy to manifest what we want out of life. It's all a directing of energy pulled from many, many sources, but ultimately the divine. So I think of Wicca and witchcraft as two different things. Now, do I practice both? Why, yes, I do. But I could be one without the other. So in the end, diversity and inclusion and the ability to bring that in and being empathetic to views that are not our own enhance our own spiritual relationship with the divine. Because it gives us a broader paradigm to view the divine through. It gives us a more empathetic relationship with the world around us and the people and the animals in it. And really, without it, we become very almost like horse blinders on and very focused and unable to absorb the reality that's around us. So that's my view on diversity and inclusion and how it relates to Wicca. And again, that's my own personal view. There are as many out there as there are listeners listening.
Thank you. I think that that was well said. I especially like the idea of the layers of clothing as you describe it. I think it's very very interesting thing. So I think we do that all the time, except we tend to see the clothing in our minds.
Yes, we do. I think when we meet someone new, we tend not to focus on their face or their eyes. The first thing we're assessing them on is their clothing, which has the least amount of telegraphing ability of what that person is actually like. We do a lot of work with the homeless in Chosen Path Church, and you know, when you go out into the community and you're feeding and clothing and giving sleeping bags and those kind of things, people have this conception that all homeless people are drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever. But 80% of Americans have $1,000 or less in a savings account. They are one crisis, medical crisis, job loss crisis. They are one crisis away from being on the street themselves. You meet engineers, you meet blacksmiths, you meet bus drivers, you meet just any kind of person you could think of. I have met out when we are doing service in the homeless community. But yet you look at their clothes and you judge them as being unfit to be around.
Mm-hmm. So, it's an interest. I really do enjoy that. Okay, so we have breaking news for those people who are listening to it. As you know, we're covering this for the Parliament of World Religions. And it was just announced that Demeter's Garden by Belladonna Laveau has been picked up for the Parliament of World Religions pre-event Northwest, which will be on October 16th. So another chance to join us. And that's just been announced about 3 or 4 minutes ago. So Demeter's Garden by Archpriest Belladonna Laveau will be seen at the Parliament of the World's Religions Pathways to the Parliament Northwest, October 16th. That's out in Oregon. Check it out online. We'll have more announcements about that. And you can be able to join Belladonna on Thursday on Pegasus Night Radio Network. Isn't that exciting? So I guess for one thing, so I think, so let's take a metaphor. So I think a lot of people are afraid to wear their jewelry. I think jewelry is another form of that clothing. So some people don't want to wear their jewelry out. They don't think it should be worn out. That sort of thing. They're pentagrams, but I think that, they're pentagrams. They're goddess symbols and such. And they wear it underneath their clothes, like armor. And I think that people are afraid of their own diversity. I think they're afraid that if they show some difference from the world, that the world's going to call them on it. Can you talk to a little bit about that?
Well, I have two thoughts on that. One is that I am very out of the broom closet. My employer knew I was a Wiccan high priestess. If we ever got into a religious discussion, wherever I'm at, I have no problem telling people about my religion. I feel like the more of us that are out of the broom closet, the more the people who are not Wiccan or pagan will start to get to know us as regular human beings and not the caricatures that are presented in storybooks or in Hollywood production. They will get to know us as normal human beings that have all the gifts and the pitfalls of every other human being. And we won't be that scary crone in the Disney movie. On the other hand, I live in the Deep South, and I do not have any indication on my vehicle that it belongs to a pagan. And the reason for that is I don't want it keyed. I don't want it destroyed. The physical harm threat is very real in the South. There is a pagan children's book writer in Tampa that had such a problem with people shotgunning her house because she dared to write books about fluffy bunnies that she had to get the Lady Liberty League involved, and they provided her with security equipment so that they could get the license plate of the cars that were doing this so that the police could get the people that were doing it. The the desire to wear your jewelry can be potentially harmful to you. So I get the people that keep it tucked inside their shirt. I hope that one day we reach the point where, you know, a pentagram or a pentacle is looked at no differently than a cross or a Star of David. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. So what I find a lot of pagans do is they'll wear something generic that only another pagan would recognize as spiritual. So instead of a goddess figure or a pentagram, maybe they wear a crystal. Maybe they wear a chakra gem array. Something else. It's sort of like a secret signal to the other pagan. So
I've seen a lot of the triple goddess like that, where they wear the three moons.
Yeah, I always, when I see someone wearing something ambiguous like that, that another pagan would recognize, I always compliment them on their jewelry because I want them to know I notice. And if you want to talk about your faith and your past, I'd love to have a conversation with you. So I use it as an opening to open a door to conversation.
One of the things I think that you fascinated is about our unconscious bias. You speak to that. How did you deal with your? Are you still dealing with it, or is it something that you've been able to deal with? And how do you, when you've discovered, do you deal with it?
I do still deal with it. I was a very early advocate of the LGBT community within the bank I worked with. They had a affinity group is what they called it. And I joined as an ally before they ever had an ally program years later. However, I failed big time. When someone that I love very dearly tried to talk to me about their being bisexual, I just didn't get it. I failed horribly that person. And when I realized that, I said, okay, what am I going to do to fix this? Well, first, obviously, I apologize profusely to that person. But then how do I get rid of this unconscious bias? Because now it's conscious. I know about it. What I did was I went out and took a lot of education courses that were offered by the bank on the various initials in LGBTQ. And I learned about that. And I learned the science behind it. I learned the issues, the social issues that these people go through, and I educated myself. So when we discover a bias, we don't need to browbeat ourselves for it. That's not going to solve anything. What we need to do is figure out how to get rid of it if it's a negative one. And for me, what got rid of it was education. I obviously was approaching this subject from a point of view of ignorance and social hysteria instead of understanding it. So I went out and I got the information I needed to understand it.
And that self-education, that education, that professional was very helpful to you. So
yes,
let me offer, so you've also dealt with LGBT, and to be perfectly honest, I am I'm kind of, you know, an ordinary kind of regular person. I describe myself as pansexual, which means love is love. In this world. But as a white male, especially an older white male, I find that I have to not only watch my own biases, which I have many, because I just picked them up culturally. I've been into the Wiccan community for 30 years as a priest. I can't believe it's been that long. 25 years ago, but people don't know about me. This is a big thing. So my 25 years ago, I made 25 years ago today at the Parliament of World Religions in Chicago after 100 years today, one of the things that made me commit to get my religion better understood is because the patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church did not want to be involved with an event that had pagans involved with it. And they kind of walked out of it. They went after Lady Olivia. 25 years ago today, the Parliament of World Religions did not accept, saw pagans as a problem. And of the top eight religions, they only had one that was a goddess religion, Isis. Today, we're not only a part of the Parliament, we have walked the Parliament path that we have got ourselves involved with it. And in that process, we've had to really challenge ourselves and others involving bias. So one of the things I worry about as we head towards the Parliament is how many Wiccans do you think have a really heavy bias against Christians because of their behavior? And how do we get past that so we can have a good communication with Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Baha'i and literally the 80 or 90 faiths that are going to be represented there?
I think a lot of Wiccans do have biases because they have left another religion to become Wiccan. The majority of our members are converts instead of having been raised in the faith. And when you leave a religion, you have baggage that you take with you. And it's very hard to unpack that baggage. I find I still get upset with the Catholic Church for having told my mother that she was going to purgatory because she used a diaphragm. That is one of their core beliefs, is that birth control is just not allowed. But I'm not Catholic anymore. And because they have that belief does not change my life. In fact, I think it's actually benefited it because I have found the Wiccan faith by leaving the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not saying that all Catholics should leave the Catholic Church to become Wiccan. I'm just saying that what they practice does not impact me negatively. I did go to the Parliament of World Religions last time they had it, which was in Utah, Salt Lake City. And I learned about religions I didn't even know existed there. It was so wonderful to see people, for the most part, celebrate each other's religions without bias. I actually did a presentation on the Peace Prayer Warriors, the International Peace Prayer Warriors, which is an interfaith group that's on Facebook that prays for peace around the world. And as part of that, we introduced the crystal web, which is an energy construct that the Karelian tradition had built for 30 years that basically forms artificial ley lines around the world that we use to heal the world and to provide energy to our members. And as part of that, we were handing out the two crystals, clear quartz crystals, that it takes to create an access point to the crystal web. And one gentleman and my best friend was actually handing out these crystals as people came through the door, and one gentleman all but threw them back at her and said, "My religion doesn't believe in this." And as we sat around the dinner table that night discussing it, we're thinking, okay, well, did you come to the Parliament of World Religions just to mingle with people that had the same beliefs as you? Then maybe your own tradition or your own church's conventions would be a better venue for you than coming to the Parliament, which the whole point of going to the Parliament is to learn about other religions and to share information about your own religion that will show the beauty of it. So that was the only instance in the whole week that I really saw someone rejecting or being unopen to the concept of someone else's religion. So I have great hopes that in Toronto we won't see any of that. I know that there is a lot of disparity in the definitions and behaviors within the Christian community. I have many, many friends that are devoutly Christian. At Chosen Path Church, you do not have to be Carillion to participate with us. I believe this so strongly. I have a non-Carillion on my board. And I have Christian members. So, you know, there is the opportunity to work side by side and create something good.
Absolutely, I think so. So we talked about that. And you're going to be in Toronto on November 1st through the 7th. And we will be also covering that event in the same way that we're covering the summit. And for those people who would like to help us do this better, we will be asking for donations later. So let me make an offer out here. So we got one more subject that we cover. So we've talked about our own biases and biases towards others, right? But let me talk about one more bias, and I think this is a hard one, and that is within Wicca itself. I feel like there is a battle within our own community that we're trying to deal with now so that we can absolutely go to the Parliament so that we're, as a tradition, not just the Corellian tradition, but we're also working with the Aquarian Tabernacle Church. We're working with the Archpriestess Reverend Phyllis Carrot. We are working with numerous other groups, and you feel free to join us. I really would love you to come continue to join us in doing this, but that we can have more of an understanding of what we want. So I think that that one of the things that we need to do to ourselves is look at how we even interpret our own religion amongst ourselves. Because we have this idea of the fluffy bunny. We have the idea of the McWitch. We have the idea of the, you know, more online than, you know, more about online than anything else. That we have all these different answers for what Wiccans are. And if we don't necessarily see that model that the individual has, they bring it to that. So how do we deal with that? Or can we?
I kind of describe Wicca using the umbrella analogy, and I usually use this with non-Wiccans. When you think about Christianity and say that that's a big umbrella, when you look under that umbrella, you've got some smaller umbrellas. You've got the Lutherans, you've got the Catholics, you've got the Methodists, you've got the Baptists, you've got the Church of Christ. They've all got their little umbrellas under that big umbrella of Christianity. Well, paganism is kind of the same way. When you look at paganism, you go under that big umbrella and you've got little umbrellas. You've got Wicca, you've got Astaru, you've got indigenous religions. You've got a lot of religions under there. Well, if you pick up the Wiccan umbrella, you've got a lot of different little umbrellas under that Wicca umbrella as well. You've got the Karelians, you've got the Gardnerians, you've got ATC, you've got the Cogs. There are many, many diverse groups under that Wicca umbrella. And it's all still Wicca. But each one of those groups has looked at that diamond and interpreted Wicca in slightly different way and has explained it in an effective way enough to get a lot of people to buy into it and become part of their church or their tradition. So it's all still the Wicca umbrella, but it's just slightly different. Like, you know, the Protestant umbrella, it's a big umbrella, but they're all basically the same, but with slight differences. And the differences are okay. If that difference is what attracts you and allows you to have a loving and nurturing relationship with the divine, what difference does it make if it's not exactly the way I would approach the divine through Wicca?
That makes sense. And so, first of all, so why don't we go ahead. So before I ask my last question, how can people interact with you? They want to find out more about diversity and more about contacting you. What is the best way to communicate with you?
The best way to communicate with me is to go online and Google Chosen Path Church, or go to chosenpathchurch.com, and there is a contact form on that website that goes directly to me, and I will respond in a manner.
That's easy enough.
All one word.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Chosen Path Church is called Chosen Path Church is that we all have the right to walk in peace on our chosen path, no matter what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where.
Okay. So my last question for you this evening. How do you, I want to thank you for doing this. And if you really want to help us, you can find out a way, go on to todayisspell.com. You'll see there's lots of ways to help us, either from like donations to help us rebuild Witch School, which is like one of the leading education systems, to, you know, writing, to doing a lot of things. But please, please, please share the Global Wicca Summit. And the way best way you can do that is hashtag GWS2018. GWS2018, and if you make any posts, you can see literally what's going to be hundreds of posts. We're going to be discussing this matters all through the thing. And Reverend Lori, I really, really appreciate that you start us out thinking about diversity. Now, as a member, not just Chosen Temple, but working with the Mother Temple itself, you've seen a lot of diversity in through the tradition, in your tradition.
Yes.
I know today that Reverend Don Lewis, who's the head of the tradition, did his piece in 5 languages. So do you he works really hard on it, and people are really impressed with the Greek, the Greek language. But do you see?
We have a friend that speaks Greek, so we kind of leaned on him.
But we did a great job.
I think we can't help but be diverse in the Karelian Wicca Church because we're in 113 countries. you can't be that worldwide of a religion and not be diverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a gift.
Okay, that kind of answers my that the idea that it is. And you see this personally. You see this from where you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So, I think that I really appreciate it. So, in idea of diversity, it is about dealing. So the biggest thing I can take away from this is that dealing with your own personal bias is very important, and to watch for bias in the situations for it. So one last thing people says, so if you see bias in other people, should you actually confront them about it?
What I told people to do in my sermon was to kind of be aware and be an active bystander. Now, that kind of sounds like an oxymoron. How can you be an active and a bystander at the same time? But you can. If you see someone hurting someone else because of a bias that they have, there are ways to diffuse the situation without getting all up in the perpetrator's face and possibly putting and the person that is being harmed in physical danger. You can interrupt politely and pull that other person away and say, oh, I need to show you something over here, or can I help you take that package? Let me help you with your suitcase. You know, whatever, in a nice, polite way, and just get that person away from the person that is out of control. However, if it reaches the point where someone is being physically harmed, not emotionally harmed, sometimes you got to get in there and physically put yourself in harm's way to help the person. That is a personal decision that every person has to make. The mother of small children might be more hesitant at putting herself in harm's way because she's got children that depend on her. I'm a cantankerous old woman. I will hit you with my purse if I find out that you are harming someone else and there are no authority figures like police or anyone else to defend you. I will get in there and defend you. Now, I might wind up harmed out of it, but that's my personal choice. So each one of us has to make that decision. But I cannot imagine the personal guilt that I would have if I did nothing but turned my back on a person being harmed in such a way. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror. But that's a personal decision that everyone has to reach, and it's not the same answer for everyone.
I can understand that. I agree with that. So, thank you for being with us tonight on this first night of the Global Wicca Summit. Thank you for talking about diversity in such a great way. And I think that it gives us a lot of food for thought. I think it gives us something to begin thinking about. At least gives us a way of dealing with it. And so with this, in closing, I think I'm going to ask this is the very last question. So is there anything that you're expecting out of the Global Wicca Summit that you're looking for personally?
I personally found the Karelian tradition immediately when I embraced Wicca. So I am personally looking forward to seeing how other traditions embrace Wicca. I'm looking forward to learning more about other traditions and how they view Wicca, and, you know, looking at the similarities, dissimilarities. But it, to me, it's sort of like a mini parliament. It's just we're not able to look each other in the eye. We're only able to listen to voices over the radio or watch videos. But I approach the summit as a desire to learn.
Terrific. And well, thank you for being on with us, and blessed be.
So much for having me.
And I really appreciated it. So you've been listening to the Right Reverend Lori Denham of the Chosen Path Church of Jacksonville, Florida. You can check out her temple. You can check out her space. And, of course, at any time, you can always reach out to us and talk to us. So blessed be, Lori, and thank you.
Thank you. Blessed be, Lord Ed.
I've still never, there you go. Now we're going to continue on, and let me go ahead and tell you a little bit more what's coming up here in the near, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a presentation with the Reverend Apu Agdama of the Philippines with Lady Dana in just a few minutes. But I want to go ahead and give you a reminder of what's happening. You're listening to the Global Wicca Summit. You're on the Global Wicca Channel, part of the Pegasus Today, Tonight Radio Network. You've been listening to the Right Reverend Lori Denham, and you've been earlier tonight. We heard from Circle Sanctuary and the Liberty Team on the Pegasus Tonight Radio Network. We've heard from Sarah Elizabeth Hamilton and DJ Fortney on the Witch and Famous Channel, and we've also heard from Don Lewis and Reverend Don Lewis and Stephanie Neal, who gave the benediction of the opening ritual. We're going to continue on, and over the next six and a half days that are continued on from here, we're going to be having a lot more. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to the former vice chairman of the Parliament of World Religions, Phyllis Korot, in a special hour interview at 8 p.m. Central Time, followed by Jason Mankey, a leading scholar in our community, going to be talking about Wiccan history. Tomorrow night, Elizabeth Hamilton will be talking to Alan Salmi, and he has a four-degree system and other types of items that are going to be there. On Thursday, we're going to hear from the Archpriestess Belladonna and Dusty from, and I'm so informal, aren't I, of the ATC. And Friday, we're going to have the Corellian three-hour special. And, of course, throughout those times, we'll have other materials, including on the Facebook Live page. And on the Facebook Live page and so much more. But right now, we're going to give you an interview with Reverend Apu Agdama of the Philippines with Lady Dana as part of our International Global Summit of Wicca. And we're going to be hearing from as many as 15 countries this week. So thank you so much.
So this is Apu Agdama from the Shrine of Kunting Agama, and we are glad to have Lady Dana, who is on the other line. So can you greet Lady Day? Can you greet our listeners all over the world?
Yes, good morning, people, or afternoon or evening. This is Lady Dana, and I'm glad to be a part of this.
So Lady Dana is one of the celebrated Wiccan practitioners in the Philippines. So, Lady D, can you kindly tell us more about yourself? When did you start practicing Wicca?
I started in full practice 2 years ago. It really is a very long
time. But you're still young, for sure.
Yeah, well, but before that, after I finished my master, that was like 1990. That's when I started the full blast cat.
At least that is 20 years ago, right?
Yes.
That was way so long.
Please don't tell people about that.
Sorry.
Let them figure it out.
But you possess the fountain of youth because you are ever beautiful since then.
Thank you. I never get older. Thank you for being vegetarian.
Yeah.
That's the secret. You don't eat anything that walks in four legs.
Actually, I heard a lot about you, and you become a foundational pillar in the weekend society here in the Philippines. But since you are the celebrated one, I know you had this radio show. You've been into the TV program. And there are a lot of things. You had a school, right? You teach Wicca at
yes,
the same
I
time.
I used to have a school. That was in Makati City.
Mm-hmm.
A really long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved from one place to another. There, that happened.
Yeah.
Things change, so things happen.
Okay. Actually, the current tradition, our tradition, is going to participate to the Parliament of World Religion. And the Global Summit, the purpose of Global Summit is to highlight that Wicca as a global religion. For me, I am part of that. Okay. So the Karelian tradition will participate in the Parliament of World Religion by November in Toronto, Canada. And they are going to present that Wicca is a global religion. Here in the Philippines, actually there is quite mystery on how Wicca came in the Philippines. So may I ask you, how did you find Wicca?
How did I find Wicca? I wasn't in the Philippines when I found Wicca.
Oh, really?
I wasn't in the Philippines when I learned about Wicca.
So you are the one that I am looking for, because on my previous statement on this interview, I said that I think Wicca came magically here, since all of other religion like Christians, the Catholics, they arrive in the Philippines with missionary. So do you consider yourself as a missionary of Wicca?
Not exactly. I would consider myself as a person of enlightenment, but not exactly a missionary.
Well, that's good.
I wasn't even planning on spreading the religion when I started.
Mm.
I have a very different plan. When I was younger,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to have a business that can help people, my parents, and myself. Just like each and every one of us,
mm-hmm.
Have a better life. That's what I want. That's what I've been planning to do,
mm-hmm.
with what I've learned. And then the school opened out of nowhere.
But actually, it was a great step for everyone, because at this age, 2018, as we can see, there are a lot of so-called Wiccan practitioners around the Philippines, maybe Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. But going on that point, Lady D, so since there are so many self-proclaimed Wiccan, because the Wiccan religion arrived here, and we could not trace the validity of the craft of the religion.
I think when Wicca, the time that Wicca started in the Philippines was the time when Harry Potter got released.
Oh yeah.
I think that's when it started, because I wasn't even aware of Harry Potter. Tell you fine.
Yeah, I
and
that is one contribution. At the same time,
it's a big contribution actually.
The TV series Charm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was really out of the world, out of this world, because 2002, when I started my store, I wasn't even aware of Harry Potter. It just got that weirder when people started coming over the store, blah, 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 started asking questions. And then somebody said, this is like a Harry Potter store. I was like, what the hell is Harry Potter?
At least we got a legitimate Harry Potter store here in the Philippines. Aside from, of course, we have this traditional one in Quiapo. What do you call that? Alley in Harry Potter? I'm not a fan of Harry Potter.
We used to have a Santo Niño Botanicals. I think that's one of the oldest occult shops in the Philippines.
I remember Santo Niño Botanical Center.
Yeah,
it can be found in Cubao and Farmers, right?
It's owned by Tito Pete. The owner lives in Marikina City.
Oh, yes. That's true.
The family is a very good friend of mine.
Mm. And they have the St. Peter Mystical also in Binondo, I think.
Yeah. I've known about the one in Binondo. But the first one, also the first crystal shop, anyway, was in Makati and Crystal Or.
I think it's still existing in Makati Square.
No, it's not in Makati Square. I was the one in Makati Square.
Ah! It was you! Why did I not found you there?
I don't know, but I was the one who owned the Makati Square.
See? We are spreading all around the Philippines. Oh, yeah.
The one in Greenville, I think that was owned by Paloma. The one who's watching that place, I think, was Patricia. It was the daughter of the owner. And I was still studying at home.
Mm-hmm.
So,
moving forward, Lady D. So, as of this moment, we are on the 2018, and so much claiming to be the high priest and priestess of Wicca here in the Philippines.
Yeah.
But for you, as an individual, since you are one of the pillars of Wiccan faith in the Philippines, how do you consider Wicca affecting the people right now in our country?
Technically, Wicca as a religion, I think not everybody is very keen on practicing the old. The difference between, I think the reason behind it is also, you know, other religions. They scare people out. The good part is me being out in the media helped a lot of things because it clears up names.
Indeed.
You know? I tried to remove the bad connotation on the witches.
Because
people see it as the stereotype, you know, big nose, warts, wearing black all the time. That's what they see. That's what people see.
Yes. Because I remember you, I watched you on TV, I think it was with Jojo A. And you, yes, it was with Jojo. It was late night, but if I remember it right, you teach people, you give a free spell on people how to maintain good health, right?
Oh yeah.
So nowadays, for me, on my path as a Corel on Wicca, I use the knowledge of Wicca on healing, and I love the technique that you've shared that in making to look younger.
Oh.
You remember that? You rub your palm, then visualize, put it on your face.
Here's a secret. Okay, here's the secret. I'm 47.
Oh, you're still young.
Yeah, I'm 47, but I still look 29.
Indeed, if people will just look at you, don't worry, I might submit your picture to them.
Yeah,
so
when I was 29, they were still asking for my ID info.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're like a baby.
It helps when you don't eat meat, like I said. That's why I turned vegetarian. It's because if you're a witch, a Wiccan, and you still, you know, you eat badly.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of these things that people die very early.
Indeed, true.
So if you can make things happen for other people, why can't you even make yourself, you know, brighter?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what I put in my mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I need to be, you know, I don't want to look like the stereotype witch.
Yes, indeed. That is right. Actually, that is a great movement now influenced by Wiccan religion here. We don't have the exact number. How do people live in a Wiccan way and being conscious on how we eat is a great influence. But aside from this, can you share your vision for Wicca here in the Philippines in the near future, maybe in the next 10 years?
The next 10 years? I don't think there will be more practitioners coming out. The only reason why I wish that Wicca will become a legal religion in the Philippines, because technically the country is known as a Christian country.
Indeed, yes.
Okay, and a lot of people are very, very scared of what Wiccans are. They see us very differently because the teachings is the way they teach our kind, to Christianism, is very, very different. It's very stereotyped.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I wanted this to be a legal point of belief. I don't want to use the term religion. This really bad connotation of religion and politics, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yes, that's true.
So I'd rather use the term belief. I want it to be a legal belief because, well, this will sum up as each and every one of us as a normal person. And the country will see us as human beings. I mean, some people see us as immortals.
Yes, most people think of us like that. Oh, you are Wiccan, you have magic, you can do this. Okay, you can blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. We are still humans, hello?
Yeah, we're humans, we eat things that normal people eat, but the difference, I think, would be just the higher spirituality. I wanted people to see that we are a lot better person, that we are a lot better people. We have more respect for other forms of belief than any other religion.
Yes, that's true.
What's the point of putting your belief in a belief system that has more reason to go to war?
I mean, we
don't even have
that. Indeed. With that word, yes, people still not aware of Wicca. But do you think that our country needs more of Wiccan priests and priestesses or high priestesses like you in the Philippines?
I would say, I cannot say high priestesses. I would say priests and priestesses, head priestesses for every, you know, corners of the country. Because for some reason, you know, the term high priestess makes people kill each other. They see that as a form of a queen or a king for some reason. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And then there's one person who told me at one point that, Dana, if you go and follow me, I will make you the queen of the science. I think, you're crazy. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm avoiding politics. That's why I don't want to use the term religion. Exactly.
Actually, you are such an amazing woman. Although, on my part, personally, before you told me that, I considered you also as a queen, but it's quite you are a queen because I heard a lot of things, a lot of magic that you've done, the spells and those peoples that you help. I really consider you as a queen, to be honest. But from knowing you deeper, I see that the faith that you had in Wicca is the faith for equality. Yes, indeed, that Wiccan religion teaches peace to all of us to improve our lives.
The connotation of the high priestess, a lot of people think of it as the queen of the witches. No, I think a high priestess is supposed to be a person who is loving and caring and willing to teach the others what is the right thing to do. The person who gives enlightenment to the rest of the people, of his or her people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a high priestess.
Wow, very amazing. That's so wonderful teaching I received from you right now. I'm so blessed, Lady C. I'm really so blessed to have talked to you right now. And for the final message to our people, or not only here in the Philippines, but for all those who we could reach through this interview, what can you tell them about in coming to Wicca? Your final words of wisdom.
Well, during my first interview with one of the biggest names in the news industry,
mm-hmm.
I told them that I don't like converting people. Do not force Wicca to people who don't want to believe in it, because we are not what they are. Those other forms of belief, they like converting people.
Mm-hmm.
They force their belief towards other people. I don't want to force Wicca to anybody. I want people to see it as they want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tried to clean up everything as much as I could. And I always say just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you people have found your God. I have found mine. I found my God and my goddess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with my God and my goddess. Why can't you be happy with your...
That is so wonderful, Lady D. But anyway, people can find you, your YouTube mm-hmm. channel, by typing Lady Dana 888.
And then my FB page is The Lady Dana.
The Lady Dana.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
In the buo, T-H-E.
T-H-E, Lady Dana. So at least all our listeners have enjoyed our conversation. So until then, thank you very much, talaga, Lady D. Merry meet, Merry Park, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Bye-bye. Maraming salamat.
And you've been listening to the Global Wicca Summit on the Global Wicca Channel, part of the Pagan Tonight Radio Network. And that as you've just been listening, you've been listening to Reverend Apu Agulan with Lady Dana of the Philippines talking about how Wicca was brought to their country at the time. We'll be having more with Reverend Apu as he does more interviews throughout the Global Summit this week. We'll be playing additional pieces on it, and I hope you will join us again for the Global Wicca Summit. To find out more about the Global Wicca Summit, and if you listen to dailyspell.com/GWS, you can go there and you can check it out. We have a schedule up for everything it is. We want to thank you for spending this evening with us, and I wanted you to spend this evening with us, and we remind you, you've been hearing today, you heard the invitation today by Don Lewis. You saw it in Second Life where we talked about witch wars and defense, these materials available to you. We saw the benediction by Lady Stephanie. We saw the Lady Liberty League and Felita Fox come out today. We heard it from Lady Elizabeth Hamilton about the upcoming events of her channel. you've heard tonight, we've heard from DJ 14, Fortney, who is talking about the LGBT community. We have heard from the Right Reverend Lori Denham talking about diversity in the Wiccan community. And we heard the origins of the beginnings of the Philippine, where we'll be following more. We will be signing off. I will be signing off. And I am Sir Ed Correll, also known as Ed the Pagan. And I want to thank everybody who has joined me so far on this Global Wiccan Summit. And we will be picking up this programming everywhere. Check us out on Facebook at The Daily Spell. And you can check us out on our Twitter, The Daily Spell. And please communicate with us. Merry meet, merry part, merry meet again. Until tomorrow, it's the Global Wiccan Summit signing out for the evening. Thank you for joining us.